Hello, hello, and welcome back. Time for another episode of Athletics Cast, all things Oakland A's. My name's Wayne Coy. Good to have you here. Whether it's the audio podcast that you've downloaded or you're checking us out on YouTube. And if you are doing that, either way, just make sure you give us a like if you can. Subscribe button's very, very important. That way you never miss an episode, and we just want to continue to grow the channel. So that's a good thing. Today's going to be kind of special because remember that movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind? I think the tagline was something like, "We're not alone." That's the deal today. Certainly not by myself. I've got some help, and these are people who are practically family. I don't want to give too much away, so we'll just let you figure it out here.
All right. Well, I don't know. So I don't know how to do this because this is like a joint podcast, you know? So
it is.
Who's doing the intro? You want to? For
me, I'm treating this like an away game. Okay. So okay. I'm the visiting team.
Okay.
And you're the home team. We're doing this on your turf with your system. And it works out good because you guys are used to being here and I can just kind of hang out. Thanks for having me. Hi, Alex. Hey, Hal.
Okay. Let's do
What's
it.
What's up, Wayne?
All right.
Alex, in the Alex, diamond
start
mines.
Us off, baby.
Yeah. Well, I guess we are back with another episode of the Ricky Henderson podcast. Actually, we're doing a crossover podcast. This is a Ricky Henderson podcast and Athletics Cast because we are with the man, Wayne Coy. So I'm your host, Alex Espinoza, the Ricky Henderson podcast, with my co-host, Hal Gordon. And today we got our other crossover host today is Wayne Coy, who does Athletics Cast. We're both part of the Believe Network. We figure we'd chop it up today and introduce each other's audiences.
I think it's very cool. Yeah. Now, does this make us related? I think we are.
I think we are now. Yeah.
I mean, we were already related as A's fans, but I think this is different. This is like the Believe
related
family.
And just pain, man.
Yeah.
Just saying. Well, it's funny. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. I mean, I like this summer is going to be wild. I mean, for me, the things that are kind of sticking out is like the Oakland Roots are playing the San Jose Earthquakes on May 7th at PayPal Park. That's going to be wild.
That's going to be crazy.
The Aviators are playing at the Rivercats on the 27th. And so there's going to be a thing there. I mean, it's just going to be events nonstop. The article in the Ringer today just came out by Dan Moore. It
was Great
article. A lot of stuff. But first of all, Wayne, you want to introduce yourself? Like,
sure.
Give people your background and how long you've been following the A's, covering the A's. I mean, we were just talking offline. You used to be a vendor there back in the day at the Coliseum, just like Hal. I mean, yeah, you just want to give people like kind of, yeah, your background to introduce if people haven't heard you before. Yeah.
Well, I've been on the radio for longer than probably the two of you combined. I think if we took, I don't know how old, well, I don't even want to ask, but
I haven't been on the radio very long.
Put it this way. When I started on the air, Billy Ball was a thing. Okay.
Oh yeah. Early
80s. Yeah. Billy Martin was the manager. It was Ricky Duane and Tony in the outfield and Mike Norris and Matt Keogh and Steve McCaddy. That's when I started in radio. I was an A's fan prior to that. If you go all the way back to 1969, there's a Sports Illustrated feature about Reggie and I'm sitting on he's sitting on the dugout. I'm right behind it trying to get his autograph and it's cap day. So we all have our caps on. And dude, I was like 8 years old.
69, man. I mean, you beat me by 18 years of life right there, man.
See, right there.
I was born until 87.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you guys are born the same year. So, Jack Cust is to you what Dwayne Murphy was to me. So put it that way.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, I'm a first generation A's fan. My son Ian is generation two, brainwashed him really good. And now he's doing the same thing to his kid, Rain. So we're three generations deep here, which is one of the main things that, you know, pisses me off about this whole thing is that you're ripping away what I call a multi-generational heirloom. I mean, family, you know?
How old is Rain?
Rain is 13.
Oh, wow.
Shit, man. But so he's old enough to fully understand exactly what's happening.
Right. And so his, you know, how do you become a fan? You know, he wants to be a Brent Rooker fan. Well, he is. Does he continue to follow him in Las Vegas? I mean, I don't know.
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope they don't go there, of course. I mean, I'm there, by the way. I live in Las Vegas, so there's weird for you. Bay Area kid, born and raised, and all my roots are there. We moved here in 2020 because of COVID.
Can you tell us about what's like in Las Vegas? You know, I mean, I think on Twitter, you know, on Twitter or Instagram or other social medias for A's fans, they get a lot of other A's fans saying that nobody in Las Vegas cares. But, you know, I mean, I've met people in Las Vegas who are genuinely really excited, and I cannot fault them. You know, I can't fault them for being genuinely excited.
So you met him, huh? You know, you met that guy.
I don't know. What's your opinion of the feelings in Las Vegas?
It's a Dodger town, first and foremost. They don't care about the A's, and the ones who are educated enough to kind of know what's going on, they're not happy about it. I mean, put it this way, the hockey team's slogan is Vegas born, right? So that's what they want. They want their own team that they can nurture from Jump Street. They don't want John Fisher and all that baggage that comes with him and Dave Cavill. So
yeah.
I don't think anybody does. I don't know.
Maybe, Alex.
Maybe so, Vivek. Maybe
so the Vivek. Vibe really is what you read on Twitter. That's the fact, Jack. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't people that are excited, but you would think, put it this way, I was at that chamber meeting when John Fisher was.
Oh, you were?
Yes. The guest knows. Anybody back there? It was horrible, and it was real. Because they don't care. It was apathy. If there was ever an event where you'd think the city that you're moving to is going to get excited and, you know, you're going to be excited about them being excited, it wasn't happening. So
it was a bizarre experience for me watching that, you know, in my apartment back in California, because, you know, I had met John Fisher 5 or 6 times just vending, you know, seeing him sitting in the stands. You know, he used to be in the diamond level, which was not a vending zone. That was the one place I didn't vend. But then after COVID, he would sit up in, sit up in the stands a lot. And, you know, the first few times I saw him, I was trying to suck up to people. I was trying to, you know, trying to be their future, you know, their future franchise hot dog guy, you know? So I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to go talk to him. And I would talk to him. I'd be like, this guy's just fucking boring motherfucker. Like, it's just a bowl of vanilla ice cream. And it was just very funny to see people realize that for themselves. Like, he just sucks. He's just not a fun, he's like not an interesting dude.
Right. Yeah. He comes by it naturally, obviously. I'm surprised you actually saw him at a game. Here's my question. How does he take his dog? Because to me, the way a person dresses their hot dog says, as you know how. So many things about them as a person. I'm guessing he puts ketchup on his hot dog, doesn't he?
And okay, so you got ketchup. Does he put anything else on it?
I don't think he did. No.
You're absolutely fucking right. He puts nothing but fucking ketchup on his hot dog. Absolutely. Absolutely. And usually,
insider info. You know,
usually when I would, when an adult would order ketchup and nothing else, you know, I'd say, you know, okay, so that's for your son. What would you like? But, you know, I was trying to fucking, you know, I was trying to make friends with the important people. But in my mind, I was like, the guy, he just ketchup. There's just ketchup on his hot dog. Whatever.
The only other guess, you know, I would have given you other than ketchup would have been nothing at all. Just bone dry.
Yeah. Like him. No, it was just ketchup, man. Like the guy, you know, whatever. I mean, like, obviously it's absurd to actually judge someone by their hot dog order, but it's also very funny that his hot dog order was so like lame and childish.
Yeah.
Just like his goddamn personality, man, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Plain would have been the only other more fitting option there, but ketchup's actually better because if you do that knowing that it's like having a steak at a really nice steakhouse and ordering it like over well done, right?
That's right.
What did you just do?
Crispy.
Yeah.
Give me crispy.
And so I think with John Fisher, that's the bottom line is that I think he floats in an atmosphere that most people probably don't want to be in, but more importantly, probably never have been in because it's almost like a like a trance. I don't know what to call it because, well, I think there's a reason you never heard from him for 20 years until now.
Yeah.
Now, he's got his hat out. He wants money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I thought it was interesting how, what was that, like about a month ago when they were up there and he was like down on the field in the dugout and stuff like that and like taking pictures and looking all happy and stuff like that.
In Vegas.
Yeah, in Las Vegas. Yeah, yeah. He was at the Aviators ballpark because I think they had a game down there. And I don't know, man. I still never really heard the guy have an honest conversation before, you know? I mean, the closest thing we got was that Raj Mathai interview. And of course, that was, you know.
That was all scripted.
Yeah, and that was the.
I mean, he had final approval on everything.
Yeah, like that was.
What kind of an interview?
You know, to be honest, that interview that you heard, Jack, like, you know, in Las Vegas, I think that was honest, you know? I think that he believes that. You know, that he's just doing his best for a maligned franchise. And it certainly was honest because afterwards, when he got off stage, they said, you know, do you even care about this shit? And he goes, of course I care. I've been, you know, as a small child, I was a Giants fan, you know, he cares about baseball. He thinks, you know, he thinks that there's this great honor and prestige of being in Major League Baseball because he was a Giants fan. He doesn't give a shit about Oakland or the A's, but, you know, I think he's honest there. Yeah.
Well, he was instrumental he was one of the people who ponied up when the Giants needed cash and they were talking about moving. And that's when the whole territorial rights thing happened. And John went to his dad and said, you know, I want some money because I want to help the Giants stay in San Francisco. So it doesn't surprise me that a Giants fan would do a lot of the things he does because let's face it, once they're gone, guess what? The Bay Area is a one team market, right? And that's the team.
All right, boys. So we got, you know, we got more new, you know, the story is both over and not over. You know, they're moving, they're leaving Oakland, but the story ain't over. We got more news this week. You know, how are we feeling about this? Like, do we think that the A's it's either Sacramento or Las Vegas, or it's definitely Las Vegas, or, you know, like how should A's fans, you know, the few A's fans who are still stuck listening to us, you know, how should they feel about all this stuff, man?
I don't know.
What do you guys think?
I don't know, honestly. I talked about this with my friend all the time, and I still flip-flop. Like, honestly, before talking to Vital Vegas, before our last interview with Scott Robin, I was pretty tapped in on Vegas, but he seems pretty adamant that there's little to no support for John Fisher out there. But also, I would say the same thing out in Sacramento. I mean, unless Vivek has deep – I don't know how deep Vivek's pockets are. But I mean, I think that same problem is going to follow Fisher around everywhere. The one thing I don't understand is how the A's are the Howard Terminal. I mean, on the slides they showed it was like a $6 billion project, but they're still touting it as $12 billion, and people are still printing it as a $12 billion project, which I don't understand in the first place. But like, do the A's have anything close to remote funding for that? Because if you can find $6 billion or $12 billion worth of investors in the Bay Area, but you can't find $1.5 billion in Las Vegas, like, wouldn't you go to the place that? So I'm thinking that they weren't even close. You know, we never really got to that development agreement point in Howard Terminal or the financing plan. But I mean, you would think, like, if that was even a possibility, like, you have more investors here. That's another thing that doesn't make sense to me too. Is it supposedly had like 10 times more investor money in Oakland, but he's going to Vegas still. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And I don't know.
But he never asked for help when he was in the Bay Area. I mean, it was always, remember, they were using the words self-finance and, you know, self-funded.
Well, for the ballpark. But I mean, I think they were relying on other developers to build the place up, like all the hotels and condos.
All the area around it. Yeah. And now you'll notice that's not even part of this scenario now. I mean, now you're basically just a tenant, you know.
Well, unless, I guess GLPI is technically the the landowner there. But
they
you
own
know,
the land, yeah.
But it sounds like Bally's is getting out of there. So people are saying, oh, maybe the A's can get some more acres out of it. And
well, Bally's has big trouble in Hal's hometown. That's they're trying to build a casino in Chicago.
Chicago.
And, yeah, and they're bleeding money. Yeah. And they can't seem to every time they step in another hole every time they take a step. So that project apparently is what's hurting them. And that's why, you know, they're a public company and they got to admit that. And they got to, you know, every quarter you got to say what's up. And so I think that it's true that they're hurting. But if you take a look around and you look at, if you stand on that spot over there behind, you know, where the Tropicana is still standing, if you're back in the back in that little 9-acre postage stamp and you look around, you're surrounded by MGM properties every single place you look. So Excalibur, Luxor, New York, New York, Park MGM, MGM Grand, those are all owned by the same company. So do they benefit if there's a baseball stadium there? Well, sure they do, you know? And if they can make it to where they get to control it without having to actually build it, then it's even better as far as a business decision goes. But I think that's always been the case. If you remember very early on, like I want to say November, December, Bill Hornbuckle, who's the GM over there, said he saw the renderings that we were all saying, where are they? Right. And I'm not talking about this is after we were supposed to wad them up and throw them away. So those renderings, the ones we've now seen. So the opera house from Sydney, right? Apparently he saw those, or at least some version of that, and kind of like leaked that, you know, to the press. So as soon as I saw that, my ears perked up because I was like, of course MGM could benefit way more than Bally's could. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Bally's bail and then GLPI deal with MGM. That would make more sense. And maybe not even build a resort, just take all of that area, because if they had all of it, then it would actually look like the renderings. Cause you know, those renderings aren't 9 acres. I'm sorry. It's not reality. So I don't know. I don't think they're coming here. I'm just being honest with you. I think the odds of them actually coming to Vegas are about 20%, 25 maybe.
You know, I hear you. I hear Vital Vegas. I really do hear all the reasons why you'd think that they're not. I think that John Fisher and his family are very rich, and the embarrassment, like I mean, listen, he's debased himself in front of all of the United States and certainly, you know, sports media. You know, I talk to people who, you know, are friends of mine who I don't know from the Bay Area, who, you know, don't really know me as a friend of, you know that I'm an A's fan, but don't, you know, aren't plugged into that. They're plugged into baseball and they're like, God, John Fisher, what a loser. And we have embarrassed the shit out of him, but the level of embarrassment of him not being able to complete this is another order of magnitude. I just think that unless something happens to that public financing, you know, I think we've done a great disservice to John Fisher. You know, I think that by showing the world that he's such a schmuck, few people have signed up, you know, have lined up to help fund him. But you know, I'm more optimistic, I guess optimistic is the word, but like, you know, I think that it's much more likely that he'll be able to complete that, you know, using his own money or whatever. I think we made it very hard for him, and I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of our community, honestly, you know, for doing that. But you know, we'll see. You know, there's still chances out there for schools over stadiums. You know, we haven't heard yet back about
they're waiting
the
on the
referendum.
Results, yeah.
But again, you know, I have to say this again. Even if we get the best ruling possible, which frankly I don't think is necessarily likely, but if we get the best ruling possible, we're still going to be relying on, as of yet unnamed, millionaires or billionaires to, you know, stand up and say, here you go, here's $1 million, let's go get this on the ballot. If we get on the ballot, I'm so confident that, it, you know,
Fisher's fucked, but you know, it's just so many steps. I think that there's a lot of more exciting ways to just celebrate our community, though. You know, like, that's been the most fun and rewarding part of this just nonstop shit sandwich. Is you know, listen, you know, if you're a fan of the Colorado Rockies, you know, your team is shit this year, but you know, usually that's it. Your team is shit. At least you have your team, but your team is shit. You know, they're not going anywhere, but you know, as a fan of the Oakland A's, you've gotten this short time to celebrate your fandom, in front of national media, to make it a news story, to make it important. You know, and we still have those opportunities. We have those opportunities. We'll have those opportunities in Sacramento for the next few years. Probably we're going to have, I'm so excited about the Oakland Roots versus the San Jose Earthquake. I believe it's going to be May 7th, a Tuesday in San Jose. That's going to be fucking fun, man.
Dude, that's going to be funny because everybody's going to be united. Like,
everyone hates John Fisher there.
Yeah, like, they're like, it's going to be sell the team chance. Like, it's going to be
sell, dude, both teams.
Yeah.
Sell every team.
Yeah, like, because also, honestly, we got to have some Quakes fans on here at some point, too. I would love to hear about their perspective.
A great idea.
As how Quakes fans have been treated for the past, because the MLS kind of gets, you know, kicked aside or whatever, but there's a whole nother example happening, you know, 50 miles down the road of, okay, he got his new ballpark and he's still not investing into his team. Their payroll is still
bottom. Right. He got his new ballpark and now it's not even good enough for him. And it's not, you know, what is it? 10 years old? How old is that place?
Avaya? I'm not sure, but
it's less than 10 years old, I feel like.
Let's see when it was built. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
maybe it's 10. Maybe it's 10. The
fans are really pissed off about how he's treating it too, you know? 2015. Yeah, 2015.
So. Okay. So not quite 10 years. Yeah, and it's already antiquated according to him. Yeah. So what, you know, come on. So here's what I think. This is my theory. You are right, Hal.
I love to hear it.
It's hard to drive somebody any further into the ground than that human being has been driven. The fact that both he and Dave Cavill have been able to withstand all of this, and it's been, I mean, you talk about it's on turbo, okay? Most people would have cracked already by now. We're probably never going to see that. And the idea of, well, the only way to save face is to go to Vegas, it's not true. There's another way to save face, which is to make a shitload of money by waiting until you feel it's the right moment. And I understand there's a flip tax and all of that, but I don't think they're coming to Vegas. And I do believe he's going to sell the team, but he'll do it when he feels the time is right to do it. In the meantime, I think he almost sort of gets off on the fact that he's this villain now. We've made him like the ultimate James Bond bad guy with no personality.
I think that might be true. You know, I mean, how could you not, if you were him, how could you not, like, you know, turn it around and be like, well, these guys don't know what they're talking about. All these dumb fans who are, you know, all these Oakland residents, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Oof.
Yeah. So, I'm reading about this, and actually PayPal was constructed privately. There was no public money. According to Wikipedia, I'm just doing quick research here, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
So I think that's the exact face that everybody, in San Jose is making right now.
About 100 million for 18,000 seats. So, hey, you can do it, John. You can make this happen, John. But,
Alex, I remember watching an episode of this show, where you were, talking to Dave Cavill. Mm-hmm. You have a relationship still, or is that a thing?
I mean, I haven't reached out. I mean, no, I don't even reach out because I just assume the answer is no. But maybe I'll send Catherine Aker. I feel kind of bad for Catherine Aker too. She's been, but not really, like kind of, but not really. I mean, but she doesn't really show her face anymore either. She's kind of hiding in the background. But I met Dave a few times, and I interviewed him on the field sometimes. We definitely knew each other to a degree, but it's funny, my friend was just talking about that interview today, and I think that was in 2021 or 2020. And I was actually grilling him at that time. I was like, well, if you're going to do Howard Terminal, you better do it right. Like, it was more like we were like, I don't even know if Vegas was in the picture yet. So that was a long time ago. But
were you following both of you? I'm sorry.
I have a visceral memory, Alex, of me leaving the Coliseum after vending, you know, some day. I was probably 2021, you know, covered in sweat. And just, you know, flipping my phone on and just listening to you interview Dave Cavill. That's all I have to say. It just it's just like these wild memories of, like, you know, when we thought it was going to work out, when these people who told us, you know, who told us that they were working for us, you know, just like, sure, yeah.
I know. I actually believe this guy. I was like, well, okay, well, if this is going to happen, you better do it right. But now it's like, you know, who knows?
Where well, and the other thing, too, is I think the realization that most of this was really Chris, all that good stuff that was happening. I think it was Chris's gig, and he probably got let go because maybe there's some jealousy there. But that guy had it popping.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything you could want as a season ticket holder. It was a really good minute out of this entire John Fisher ownership. That was the one little shining spot. And just watch that video from the 2019 playoff game. And, you know, you can see this is a fan base. It's a real fan base. And so that's another reason why I'm back to, I don't think they're coming to Vegas, because I think there's a dollar figure that somebody out there is going to attach to the Bay Area and Northern California and its fandom. I know it didn't seem that way because you're being defecated on, you know, on a daily basis, but
It's hard to believe that, man. But I mean, I hear you. I also hear you. I also believe that John Fisher, you know, thinks that this is his way of making a mark on the world. You know, like, oh, he inherited everything, but this is his way of making a mark on the world. You know, it's the same reason why they'll never give up the A's colors and name, because, you know, John Fisher and Dave Cavill sit there in a room and they say, no one could save this storied franchise but us. And, you know, we're going through hell, but we'll eventually get to the other side. You know, we'll eventually walk through the Vegas loop, you know, to the other side of this stupid fucking Tesla tunnel, and we'll see the sunlight, and people will say, you know, wow, we're saving baseball by embracing sports gambling.
Mm-hmm. do you think, though, that maybe, because I hear you, and on the surface that does make sense. Well, we want it for Vegas, yeah. But if you're smart at all, and I'm almost now as I say that, maybe that is the reason, but it would make more sense to start fresh in Las Vegas. And I think anybody with a brain already knows that. So if they're that adamant about not giving it up, keeping the colors, keeping the intellectual property, keeping the name and the history and all of that, isn't that also something that would make it very attractive for a Northern California or Bay Area based buyer? Because they're already there. They've been the Oakland A's for 56 years. Now if you rebranded them and you've already given them a new moniker, they're now the Las Vegas Stars, but oh wait, we're going to sell them. And now they're going to be the A's again. I think there's a reason why they're hanging on. And I think it has more to do with that.
Well, listen, I used to vend football games for a team in Baltimore called the Baltimore Ravens. And they, for 40 or 50 years, had a team called the Baltimore Colts. And it was a historical franchise. It was an original NFL franchise that I think they moved them to the AFL. Or no, maybe they were. Yeah. I mean, like, they were original NFL franchise, right?
Yep.
And they moved them to the AFC along with the Steelers to try and build up the AFC when the AFC joined. And, you know, they left for a while, and eventually they came back with a new name and a new team. And at this point, I think 2 or 3 years ago when this happened, even a year, honestly, 13 months ago, I think the national news media story was no one goes to A's games. No one went to A's games when they were good. The stadium's terrible. The city hates them. No one likes them. We just need to solve it. And what A's fans did was they stood up and they said, no, we're going to make a fucking, we're going to make so much fucking noise about this. You know, my heart goes out to Phoenix Coyotes fans, man. Yeah. They got their team ripped away from them in a fucking week. But, and I'm not blaming them. You know, I'm not victim blaming them. But honestly, like, A's fans, everyone listening to this podcast, I'm talking to you. Like, I almost feel like crying. Like, I'm talking to you. You guys stood up and you guys showed the world what this meant to you, what this meant to your community. And you know, if the A's had left immediately and gone, and we hadn't fought, we hadn't stood up, we hadn't done it, you hadn't stood up, you hadn't done anything, you know, I would feel like this is never going to happen again. And honestly, you know, the chances are against us, the chances are against Oakland, but at this point you feel like, God damn, like, they're going to give an expansion team out west. Maybe it's going to be Salt Lake. Maybe it's going to be Sacramento. But there's a lot of fucking billionaires in the East Bay and in the Bay Area. And we've told them that we're here and we want a team, you know? And we're going to keep telling them that. We're going to go to a bunch of baller, you know, we're going to go to Ballers games. We're going to go, you know, we're going to keep going to Roots games. You know, we're going to just keep making a fucking noise. And that's all we can do, man. Like, are the
Coyotes, and I don't know the answer to this question, are the Coyotes going to be the Coyotes after they move to Utah? Are they going to keep the name?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
They have Coyotes.
It's a good question.
I think they do, right?
They got Coyotes in Utah, definitely. But, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like the Coyotes are not like this, you know, historical name. So who knows? But and you know, God damn, I feel, you know, I used to not really feel this bad. You know, I definitely, going through it now makes you understand it, you know. And so my heart goes out to those Phoenix Coyotes fans. It fucking sucks it's not there.
Did you see the film today from Chicago? Did you see what it looked like there on the south side? That was basically empty stadium. It looked like the Coliseum.
No, it was like less than 1,000 people. It looked, or like at least maybe like 1,000 people, but it was like the first game of a doubleheader. Yeah, I saw that. Was
the second stadium I ever vended in was New Comiskey Park.
Hmm.
As a kid, I went to the last night game, the second to last game in Old Comiskey Park. I was 2.5 or something. It was one of my first memories. And you'll know this as being a baseball fan. You know, the outside of Old Comiskey Park was this whitewashed white brick with green C's on it.
Yep.
And one of my youngest memories as a child was in 1990, you know, on my father's shoulders, you know, leaving that stadium. You know, and I'm tearing up thinking that the White Sox won't be there anymore. Just like, you know, I'm tearing up thinking that, you know, I won't be able to bring my kids to Oakland A's games, you know, and it's just not fucking fair. You know, people like John Fisher and Jerry Reinsdorf, they deserve to be relegated, you know, send them to the fucking minor leagues, but don't take the team away from people, you know?
Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful. It's hard to. I'm getting real emotional about this, but it's, you know, it's hard to imagine staying a fan of this sport when it's treated you like this, and it's treated so many other people like this, you know, when it doesn't have to be that way, but it does have to be that way if 30 billionaires want to keep the value of their their bullshit ownership in a cartel. So just sucks. It sucks, but goddamn, I'm proud. I'm proud to be part of a fandom that's fought back and is going to keep fighting back. You know, even after people have written it off, even after people have said, fuck, the A's are gone from Oakland forever. Like, you know, honestly, if we can fuck up the A's moving to Vegas and they end up in Sacramento, that's a victory I'll take to my grave, you know? Like, that's a victory. And not that I'm happy with the outcome, but I'm happy to fuck with these, you know, these assholes who fuck with me. So, I don't know. I'm getting way too emotional for a podcast earlier.
Are you watching this team this year? Do the A's still at all hold any interest in terms of what's happening on the field for you? And what about baseball in general? Are you guys done with the game, with MLB's version of the game anyway?
No, I'm honestly, the way I look at it, this is probably the last year I care about this team. Like the same way I did as a kid, you know, I mean, you know, some of my earliest memories too, you know, I grew up in Alameda, you know, I was going to games since I was, you know, pretty much my whole life I've been an A's fan, you know, or that's why I grew up loving the game. And I was telling somebody today, it's like, I don't even like baseball anymore. It's just like, I followed the A's for so long and it's just like, it's a dumb, boring game. I just can't stop it. You know, it's like, I was literally half my life, 6 months out of every 12 months, I'm like locked into this thing. And I was thinking literally half my life I've been locked into this thing, you know, it's getting out of here. But when I was reading this Dan Moore article and he was talking about how the Cleveland Browns, their fans, they had to save our Browns campaign and like all the shit they did. And like, I don't know, man, it makes me feel like maybe there's a chance. I don't know. Maybe there's a slight chance that Oakland baseball will survive, Oakland A's baseball. Cause I know the Ballers, they're doing their thing, but,
I mean, you use that as an example.
I forgot your question. What was your question?
Are you done with baseball? Do you care?
No. This year, no. This year, I'm locked in, and I'm also kind of doing highlights on YouTube just to preserve. Like, this is like the last year of the Oakland A's, as far as we know. And I want people in 50 years to go back and look and like, oh, what was going on?
Historical document. You
know? Yeah, I mean, at this point, I feel like I'm an A's historian. So, I mean, And also they're actually competitive and decently, like, I don't want to say they're good. Don't use the G word.
Yeah,
but what are they, 7-10? Like, I don't know. That's pretty good.
That was
good.
Like last week. What are they now?
MLB.com standing. Let's see. But I mean, that's the thing, is like, they're like fun to watch. If anything, like, Mason Miller is amazing. Like if they just get the ball, like, it's fun to watch. Like, in, it's still cool to see the A's. Like, honestly, I just think, like, this is the last time I'm going to see the Oakland across the uniform. Last time I see the A's, as far as I know. And I love the A's. Yeah, they're 8-11. I mean, I just love the A's history and their branding. And I don't know. I just love it. So, I mean, for now, I'm still locked in. But I think next year it's going to be weird.
It's already weird for me because Sacramento next year,
like, whatever. Yeah, but
you're doing a podcast, right, about a baseball team. And you're never talking about baseball. That's where I find myself.
Never.
Like, nah, all never. We talk about is the bullshit. Yeah. And it's all we've been talking about for a year. I mean, more than a year. You guys probably even longer. In fact, I know even longer. So you went through that whole Howard Terminal, you know, circle jerk, and that got you nowhere. I've always been a Coliseum site guy myself, because I think the egress, you can't beat it. I mean, Amtrak, BART, airport, freeway, does it, I mean, what's left, you know? So the whole idea of, we got to build on the water. I remember when that was first started being said, now we can't, the Coliseum's not an option. It's Howard Terminal or bust. I remember thinking, why? And then when they announced Vegas, you know, the parallel paths went away, I was like, well, where's your water now? I mean, that was so damned important to you. And it was the whole reason you couldn't build at the Coliseum. You're not going to have water in Las Vegas. Believe me. I mean, it's, you know, that's,
I mean, obviously, you know, hydrogen dioxide was not the, or what is it, dihydrogen oxide, I guess. But you know, water, H2O, man, like it wasn't the actual thing, right? Like they wanted it to be a tour, you know, like a destination. So I understand, like I understand that if you don't have a destination to compete with the Giants, then you feel like, well, I'll have my own destination. I'll be on the strip. But I, you know, I don't know. It's just, there's part of me that wants to support those players. You know, I feel like they're orphans, you know, they don't have fans.
Yeah.
There's other players, you know, there's Estuary Ruiz who's supported Last Dive Bar. You know, he knows, you know. Obviously I've always thought that Wristband Gate was kind of a farce, but you know, whatever. But like, but you know, he's supported us, you know, he loves us, you know, and you know, I know Zach Geloff and I've met his family and they love Oakland. They love playing in Oakland. He's a great fucking guy, you know? And so I want to support him. I want to support these players. But it's just so fucking sad. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's rough. It's fucking.
When I see the news too, like the Cardinals president, Bill DeWitt, I think Bill DeWitt, I don't know, the third or junior, I don't know which one he is.
Yeah.
But he came out, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, there was an article where he's like, you know, we'd love to keep the Cardinals downtown. I think everybody would agree. But in order to do that, we need money. And their stadium was built in 2006, you know, 17-year-old stadium. He's already greasing the wheels, trying to get more public money put back into that thing. It's like
Kansas City, same thing.
It's also just such a fucking bunch of bullshit. You know, the Cardinals are never going to leave St. Louis. I'm so sorry to be so loud and angry, but I'm just angry. You know, the Cardinals ain't going to leave St. Louis. It'd be crazy. Yeah. It's a small market, but it's a big baseball market.
Huge.
They'd be insane to leave it. They'd be insane to leave it. And you know, it's just,
he
it's
said
just
they want to stay downtown.
Bullshit.
He says he wants to stay downtown. So I think
honestly,
he's threatening to
honestly,
take him out to
if
the
they
suburbs.
Want, if they want to go to the suburbs, then go fuck them. You know, like find a suburb who's willing to hand over a ton of money to you, dude. Stop stealing the money of the people of St. Louis.
Yeah.
Just, right. I'm so jaded. The dangerous precedent.
Guys,
that
I might
the
be
A's,
a little bit jaded.
The A's are setting a precedent, which is that you can rattle your cage enough to where you force the population to support you and build you a stadium. And if you don't, I'm going to take my ball and go someplace where they will. And to hear it in cities like Chicago and Milwaukee and St. Louis and Kansas City, I mean, this wouldn't and won't turn out well if it's allowed to go unabated. So at what point does Rob Manfred grow a set of balls and actually stand up and say, this is not good for the sport? Ever.
I mean, he's in everybody's pocket. I mean, he's not going to stop anything. He's like their life.
And he's leaving.
Sport, you know?
He's
yeah.
done.
I think he's done in, what, 20, 28 or 27 or something like that, right?
27, or, I think, 26, okay. Something like that. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, obviously this all goes back to Bud Selig anyway. You know, I mean, that's the part that grinds my gears the most is that Selig forced this whole John Fisher thing to happen when there was a group with more money, more local interest, more grounded, that would have kept the team in Oakland and would have spent money on players and didn't happen. And why didn't it happen? Because I went to college with Lou Wolf. That's why.
Yeah, that's when all this shit started, was at some fraternity in the 60s in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Madison.
That's when the whole stadium saga began. Little did we know. You know.
God damn it.
Yeah, because, I mean, as far as we know, Joe Lacob still has that outstanding offer. He's just waiting. He's like, all right, well.
I mean, and if you at all, you know, listen to Casey Pratt, it's not just Joe Lacob. You know, it's others too.
Yeah.
You know, and they honestly, like, God, at some point I wish somebody, you know, I wish we'd get a coup de grace, you know, like I wish they would just say never again, Oakland, goodbye, bang. But I think this miserable, you know, this miserable this band-aid pull, which is just going as slow as humanly possible, is going to last many, many more years, because there's going to be a chance. There's going to be a chance, you know, there's going to be an expansion team, and the A's. Goodbye, Sal.
I was going to say that was perfect timing. Expansion team and Sal is over.
Bye, baby. Bye. You know, somebody's going to buy this team. You know, somebody's going to try and buy a team in Oakland. And I mean, I really hope it happens. But
hey, will Last Dive Bar put out shirts that say sold once it's over? I'd wear one. Yeah.
Well, you guys have seen their latest T-shirt, right? That Oakland Stank T-shirt, right? From
good lead in. Yeah, I love how you're getting this there.
We were talking about that. Like, that's another hot topic of conversation on, at least on A's Twitter. I don't know if, again, I don't know if Twitter's real or not, but you know, if
Alex, for the one or two people who listen to us who aren't on A's Twitter, and what are you doing if you're not? You know, tell us about A's Stank.
Yeah, so I believe she's a Nevada State representative, right? She's in the House of Representatives, is that right?
She's an Assemblywoman.
That's right.
Oh, Assemblywoman, yeah. I believe she's District 23 or
which is Boulder. Yeah. I mean, it's Boulder City. It's not Las Vegas.
It's out there.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Well, it's Southern Nevada, right? I mean, it's like
Southern Nevada, but out there.
Yeah. So she's come out with a series of video. Well, initially, she came out with a video saying she tried to clarify the payment structure of the stadiums, but she was under the impression that Clark County would be making money off of the interest of the bonds, when of course the county is on the hook for paying the interest.
Right.
And by the county, we mean taxpayers, potentially, if they have to tap into this general fund. And there's also transferable tax credits that the A's have that they could sell at any time. It's basically getting a $180 million handout from the state of Nevada. And she's under the impression that Clark County is somehow making money off this deal, when clearly it's going the other direction. So A's fans called her out, especially Todd Saron. He's the CFO of the Oakland 68s, or the treasurer, CFO. They're so official. No, the treasurer of the Oakland 68s, he called her out. It's like, no, actually, this is how municipal bonds work. And she hasn't taken her tweets down. And then eventually she put out some videos saying, oh, well, all these fans from Oakland are talking shit, but guess what? Oakland sucks. Oakland's a third world country. Everybody wants to leave Oakland. She's actually from the Bay Area. And then she put out a tweet saying, oh, I was wrong. She didn't actually say I was wrong. She said, I
misinformed or whatever.
Yeah, I was misinformed. It was like a quasi apology. It was like a quasi apology where she admitted, okay, I got my information wrong, but all of her original posts still stand. But basically, her name is Danielle Gallant, and she's become public enemy number one. And in one of her videos, she has multiple videos. Like, if you want to bash your head into a wall, I highly advise you to watch them. But she's like, you know, the A's are trying to leave and get that Oakland stank off of them. Now the guys at Last Dive Bar have some Oakland stank, and I'm sure they're going to send the charity money to some sort of organization that she's opposed to or something. So,
you know, my kids used to say, be careful what you say around dad, because it's going to end up on the air. I would say the same about Last Dive Bar. Be careful what you say, because it's going to end up being a t-shirt.
Yeah. And they're going to make money off of you. Yeah.
Make money. Hey, here's the thing about her. She's unopposed. There's no reason whatsoever. She has to play nice. She can show her idiotic personality and it doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt her, because come November, there's nobody running against her. So she's got a lock on another 2 years to be able to stay in office. She comes from a construction background. That's what her husband does for a living. They left the Bay Area. I want to say that they were on the San Francisco side of the Bay, I think. They may have been out, you know, Far East Bay. They might have been out Walnut Creek-ish, Alamo maybe. But they came to Vegas for cost of living purposes. And I get that. Same reason we came here. There's no shame in that game. But to all of a sudden... Yeah. You know, pull this thing where the place that you just left isn't worthy and the people that live there are somehow less than you. Bust out the population, the demographics of District 23. And I'll tell you, you know, it's an extremely affluent, extremely, well, at least upper middle class, extremely white. There's no diversity. Okay. So for her to do what she's doing from where she's doing it, makes all the sense in the world. The fact is, she was in that room for that entire special session. She heard what we all heard, and she's on record, on camera, saying that the only reason that she flipped from a no to a yes was because she wanted to be able to do what she needed to do for the people at the Neon Museum, which was then somehow going to circle back to her and her district. So that's why she voted that.
Well, oh, so not, you know,
on the Neon Museum, because it's also in an, you know, a low income area of Las Vegas. The people that live there aren't all alt-right, blonde hair, blue eyed people.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think it's pretty obvious. And today she's out by the pool with her shades on, you know, I'm over her already. Way over.
Yeah. I mean, I'm over her too, you know, like, ish. We know what she was saying when she said that stank of Oakland, right? Yeah. You know, it was, we all know what they're talking about. You know, we all know what they're talking about when they've moved on, you know, with their white flight to fucking some place that's just, you know, whatever. But, you know, so I don't want to like say she's off the hook, because that's some fucking racist ass shit that she's throwing down, and it makes me mad. But at the same time, you know, her defense of Las Vegas, I don't think, you know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, she can't read, she doesn't understand her fucking shit. Like, yeah, she didn't understand the fucking legislation to pass this shit.
That she voted
that's
on
not her. On her. What's that's not her. That's honestly, that's not on her. That's on this fucking system. That's on this fucking corrupt ass system. Right? Like, here's the world she lived in. She lived in this world where, you know, every person, every, you know, every like sort of civic institution in her city said, this is going to make us money. This is going to be great. We're going to make money. And frankly, it is an indictment, not of her, but of them, that someone who hears this constantly and votes for it goes, well, this is going to make us a bunch of money. Well, like, If you were told, hey, these bonds are going to make us a bunch of money, you would assume that you're making fucking interest on these bonds, right? Like, to be perfectly honest, like, I understand why she thought the Clark County was going to make interest, you know, was going to be being paid interest on these bonds. Because
so she accepted it at surface level and never went any deeper than that.
Well, yeah, I understand that. You know, like, we can obviously she sucks. She's fucking racist and she fucking sucks. But you know, it is an indictment of the entire system that says, oh, the government should pay for these stadiums, right? Like that someone so innocent and so stupid would think, oh, well, obviously the bonds, Clark County's going to make money off these bonds. You know, Jeremy Aguero probably called her up and was like, hey, girl, I'm so proud of you for defending me. But, you know, like, but like, you know, I know that, like, obviously the obvious way that we'd make money is we'd make money on interest on these bonds. But actually the way we're going to make money is this other super secret way that doesn't make any sense. You know, and, you know, positive times a negative is equal to a positive. So we're good, girl. Like, you know, like, it's a fucking indictment of the entire system that says, you know, negative is positive. You know, we're going to pay a bunch of money and that equals profit. Like, it's crazy. You know,
is she doing it for attention, Hal? Do you think this is all an attention grab?
Well, you know, whatever, it's a politician, but to be perfectly honest, like, I think that she just put out something she thought, we're making money, and she's been lied to, and all these politicians have been lied to by Jeremy Aguero and people like that, you know, and
Steve Hill.
I hate him for it. I hate him for it because there are other voices out there. There are other voices who are more credentialed than Jeremy Aguero, who, you know, who, but people want to hear what they want to hear. You know, they want to hear that, oh, if I just make this vote, I'm going to make a bunch of money for my community.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we're all going to get, you know, it's like the end of, Caddyshack. We're all going to get laid. You know, we're all going to make a bunch of money and we're all going to get, you know, free tickets to Major League Baseball. It's going to be fucking great. I get it. You know, someone tells you that. Why do you question it? Why would you question it? If someone goes to you and says, all you have to do.
Because it's your job. Because yes. It's your job to read legislation.
Alex, yes. Right. Alex, yes.
Maybe.
Alex, yes.
Maybe.
Of course, Alex. You know, but obviously she's an idiot. But, you know, but I. You
but
know,
the
I
fact
just...
that, like, you clearly, like, I don't know what the qualifications are to be a politician anymore. I think you just have to speak confidently and have a nice. Face and
narrow.
The other pathetic part of this whole shit is that, like, you know, these people, and she said in her explanation of why she thought up was down was like, oh, we're citizen legislators. This isn't our job.
That's
like, oh my god,
too, yeah.
Oh my fucking god, dude. You're giving hundreds of millions of dollars away to these people, and
she's like,
your job.
And she's like,
she's
like, I didn't have enough time.
Yeah, it was like she spent $10 too much at Kohl's. You know, that was the vibe I got. Like, it was no big deal.
But,
I'm sorry, I was wrong.
But they don't.
$380 million dollars later. Hello.
Yeah.
But if this comes in front of the California legislature, if this comes in front of the fucking Oakland City Council, they're like, it's not even the California legislature. Right. If this comes in front of the Oakland City Council, there are staff. There are many staff that study this and present it. Right. Remember, if you bring yourself back to 2021.
Well, that's why they were trying to do it before the city council changed. So they were trying super hard to get it out.
Right. The people who are bringing this forward was Oakland City staff. You know, they were paid for by the people of Oakland. And they were there to tell the council members in Oakland what is good for Oakland.
Molly
Mae, if you remember back, but in Nevada, nope, they don't even have any fucking staff. The only person, the only staff is fucking Jeremy Aguero, who's not staff. He's a paid fuck.
He's a lobbyist.
He's a lobbyist whose numbers on Allegiant Stadium were wrong. F1 were wrong. And of course, we're not going to put 30,000 people a night, you know, I'll see you on a Wednesday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's not going to happen.
Alex, this reminds me 6 or 8 months ago, I feel like you told me it felt like we're being robbed by the Hamburglar. You know? These fucking people are incompetent
Great
morons.
Analogy.
They're incompetent morons, and we're just sitting there. We're just sitting there getting robbed by incompetent fucking dumbasses.
So, no, you're being, for the record, robbed by incompetent.
Yeah. Jeremy Aguero's telling the Hamburglar, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Just break that window. Yeah. You can do it, bud.
I mean, but that's the thing. It's like this whole saga has just kind of opened up to me. It's like, there's so much bullshit in this country. And it's like, Ace fans can speak up, but ultimately it's not... You know, like, he can try. I mean, I don't want to discount what A's fans are doing. I actually do think it's making a difference. So, but you need a lot of people to band together in this country. Like, if one person really can't do, you know, it's just like, it's kind of showing like the power inequity and how these billionaires can kind of just do whatever they want. And the common folk are just kind of powerless to stop. You just kind of take it on the chin and, you know.
Well, if I'm following you though, I mean, I did ask you both that question and I just want to make sure for the record that I have it in my head, because you're, I think, exactly where I am, which is you want to root for this team because they're your team and they have been your team for a long, long time. And there's so many memories. I got married at home plate, for Christ's sakes. I mean, you know, you want, does it get any more fanny than that? I proposed to my wife on the scoreboard at the Coliseum. I sold I never sold hot dogs, Hal. You got me there. But I sold popcorn and peanuts and chocolate malts at the Coliseum as a kid. So it's inside me like it's inside you. And all I'm saying is now I'm finding it very hard to care. And that's scary, because where does that lead? That leads to complete apathy. And then there is going to be a place where, if you go through the cycles of grief, where you just give up and it's a thing that happened in your past and you moved on. Right?
Wayne, it hurts just because, like, it hurts because it was yours. You know, that thing was yours. That thing, you know, you said you got married there?
I did. Right when the Tigers clinched the division, too.
I just want to say that, like, that's yours. You know, that's you. That's yours, and that's your wife's, and that's your family's, and
the whole family on the field. Yeah, 2016.
It doesn't even, you know, even if you, you know, even if you didn't get married at the Coliseum, 16th. Like,
Alex, let the guy say his job.
Alex, scrub that.
No, that just means it feels ours. Like it's yeah, been just totally yesterday. Right. Yeah, thanks.
Feels like eight instead
good,
of 13.
Good cover. Yeah. 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 Anyway, who was it? Yeah.
Years, man.
Anyway, 2011. So here we are. And that's something that right now is just a photograph, and pretty soon it's going to be like, well, where was that? Oh, that was at the Oakland Coliseum. Oh, where? Oakland? Isn't that the city by, now we're right back to where we started, San Francisco. You know, that's where it's going to go. Is that stadium's not going to be there anymore. The Oakland A's won't exist anymore. And then we're supposed to be able to tell people that that means something to us. You know, it's hard to talk about. Where Hal has been here today already. I've been, you know, three or four times a week. It's just a range of emotion. And you got to keep that kind of in check. But I did want to just rebound real quick to back to John.
Yeah, let's do it.
And his ketchup on his hot dog. Okay. Because to me, this politician who I think we shouldn't even say her name. So I'm not going to. But anybody who ends every single sentence right here, immediately, I discount you. Hey, you can't
slightly
even
sexist
that adults don't talk that way. So I gotta say, ketchup on a hot dog and talking like this, I'm out.
Listen, I feel like ketchup on a hot dog. Fuck you.
I used to be that guy until a few years ago, so I was gonna be quiet.
If you're trying, it's okay. Alex, I understand.
Now I like ketchup, mustard.
Alex, stop talking. Alex, I understand that you like ketchup on your hot dog until you're about age 13, and then after, once you got to about age 15, Alex, stop indicting yourself.
I was kind of in my 30s, 20s.
I'm kind of glad he's doing it because it's taking me away from not remembering 20s my or 30s. So yeah, keep talking, Alex.
Keep talking to us. You know, but like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I gotta say, if you're still listening to us after this fucking sops fest, thank you for continuing to listen to the podcast. I'm sorry we've been complaining to you, but like, it's just crazy, man. But there, I want to tell you, if you're still listening, to keep fighting, because it has made a huge difference. It's made a huge difference. People that I've talked to who are not A's fans, you know, I have a lot of friends who are baseball fans in lots of different cities, and what they've said about the A's has changed so much in the last year. Sure. So, you know, keep fighting, not only for them, but for yourself. I mean, mostly 99% for yourself, you know. You know, go to Sacramento for that Sac Vegas minor league team game.
April 27th.
Come to San Jose. Come to San Jose for that Roots Quakes game. Yeah. That's gonna be fun as shit. If you May 6th, if you would like to go to Incline Village, to the some fucking University of Nevada Business School's sports conference, I feel like I want to go, but I also feel like if I try and sign up, they're going to be like, Hal Gordon, Google, obviously we're not going to let him in. I might
try. Use your stage name. You can use an assumed name, you know.
I might try. Why would you even suggest that? I would never use a stage name, you know. Do not, when Joseph McGillicuddy signs up for that event, do not think twice about that. But like, you know, if you would like to go to that and just fucking tell John Fisher he can go suck his own fucking dick, I support you. You know, like, let's keep fighting. Let's keep fighting. I mean, like, obviously
is he going to get heckled at that thing? Stupid. Do you think is that really going to happen?
Who knows? I mean, probably, but I don't know. I you know, who knows? But like, I think the more important things is like, is going to that soccer game the next day. I think that'll be great. You know, I think let's hear from the Nevada Supreme Court. You know, if they're still willing to do this, we still got a window there. And even if that window closes, Schools Over Stadium's going to keep suing them. You know, that'll be open. And to be frank, until they got fucking shovels in the ground in Vegas, we can keep making their lives hell. We can keep making their lives hell. They're going to move on to Sacramento. They're going to think, perfect. We're done with them. And we're going to follow them there. And we're going to call them. We're going to call them the names they deserve to be called there. You know, so it, I mean, part of it is anger. Part of it is trying to get even, and we'll never get even with them. But a huge portion is, you know, I think why I'm saying, you know, one of the better ways is to go to that roots earthquakes game, right? Is that like that builds something. That builds your fandom of the Oakland roots. That builds your fandom of Oakland sports. And that it's gonna be fun to chant Fisher out with those San Jose fans, you know?
Isn't he gonna get get a cut of every ticket though? Like, you know, like he's gonna
Who gives a fucking shit? He's a billionaire. This fucking money. One fucking U.S. Open game ain't gonna mean shit to his bottom line, man. You know, but you know what will mean something to you, Alex, is being there with your community and supporting your community in San Jose, and you know, supporting that Oakland community together at that game. That's gonna be fun to share. So,
hey, before I forget, rest in peace to Kenny Holtzman, who was one of the best left-handed pitchers to ever wear an A's uniform, and he just passed.
Absolutely.
I was looking forward to seeing him. I met him one time and you know, at one of these reunions, and I was looking forward. That was the one game besides the last game that I was planning to attend, was that 74 reunion. And now knowing that he's not going to be there, that's just and you know, we lost Sal Bando, we lost Vita Blue, and it's unfortunate, but they're getting to be that age. So, you know, just if you get the opportunity to go out and meet these guys or take a picture with them or whatever, do it. Get the autograph, cherish them, because we only have so much time here on this planet. And you know, when your heroes start to die, man, that's tough to take.
Unless they're Jack Cuss. Do that, and also get out there and take pictures with friends you've made at A's games too. You know, they don't even have to be players, man. Like,
no, it's better if they're not. I think it's even
do that.
You know, I have a picture that I took at the boycott with you. And to me, that that picture was as valuable or even more so than had I taken it with Esty. You know what I'm saying? Because you're Hal the hot dog guy, damn it.
Fucking legend.
I mean, it's not about legends, man. It's about your own community. You know, it's fighting for your community, and you're a valuable part of that community, and every other A's fan who wears that jersey and wears that hat is a valuable part. So we're gonna keep doing that. I'm very excited about this Roots Quakes game.
It's gonna be wild, man.
I'm excited about a bunch of other stuff that's gonna be happening, and you know, the fight ain't over till it's over. But goddamn, you know, feel proud of yourself. Everyone who hasn't gone out and read that Grantland article,
Grantland, wow, that's another
Dan Moore,
the ringer.
Is it Grantland still?
Yeah, Dan Moore,
the ringer.
Dude, that's
you know what I mean. That's what it is, right?
Bill Simmons.
That's
Bill
what
Simmons.
It is.
Yeah, same thing.
Bill Simmons. It's Grantland. It's the Ringer. That Dan Moore article. Dan is as big of a fan of Oakland and the A's as anyone, and he's got something special with his pen. So read that. Feel proud. Feel proud of your love for the A's. Feel proud of your love for your city. And let's keep fighting. And yeah, I don't know. I'll talk to you soon, guys.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much, Wayne. And Wayne, where can people follow you on social media, and where can they listen to your podcast?
It's at AthleticsCast1. AthleticsCast is the podcast. We're on the same network, as we said there at the very beginning.
Believe Network. Yeah, on the Believe.
We are on the Believe Network. You got to believe.
That's right, Wayne.
Believe.
That's
right, Wayne. Yeah. So I invite everybody to keep watching the Ricky. And then if you get a chance, come on over and check out Athletics Cast. We're all in the same boat here, so that's a good thing. And I think, you know what, it says volumes that there's still people out there that care enough, even if it is off-field stuff, we care enough about it to continue to want to talk about it. So thanks for being here.
Yeah,
thanks honestly, for having me on, you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, honestly, I want to give a shout out to the fans too. I've gotten more compliments the past year than the previous three or four combined that we were doing this. And so it's cool to know people still care and they're still listening. And so shout out to A's fans. And yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for all the support. I mean, I keep thinking I'm going to quit this thing, and here we are. So
we ain't going nowhere.
We ain't quitting because of you guys.
No,
you know?
No. And we got some cool stuff. Got some cool stuff planned in the next couple of weeks. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Wayne. Really, really appreciate the time. And yeah, make sure everybody go check out his podcast, Athletics Cast, on the Believe Network. All right. Thanks a lot.